Recording in progress.
I was thinking we could do an actual demonstration of how to do it again, which we did last time.
Yeah.
Maybe we could try that at the end, or maybe maybe next week.
Yeah, it's very important.
Just because what you can do is you can do it, but also talk through it and then mention which bit is wajib and what's not. And maybe we could do that next week. Okay. Okay. Inna alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla la wa man yudlil fala hadiya la. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا So we talked about washing the hands at the beginning of wudu. So is that obligatory or is that not necessary?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
But it was when you woke up from sleep.
Yep, okay, exactly. Yep. And we're going to actually come on to that hadith.
Yeah.
So you get the proof of that. So when you wash your hands to start with three times, but that's just to clean your hands to start with, okay? And then you wash your mouth and nose, okay? And then your face, and then your arms. So where do you wash your, when you wash your arms, where are you meant to wash your arms from?
Is it not from the wrist button and down the sleeve?
Yeah, so it's actually from the fingertips to the elbow. So the first washing at the beginning is not obligatory.
Okay.
It's not necessary as such. But the actual washing when you wash is the arm, you must wash from the tip of the fingers to the elbow, and that is obligatory and that's part of the wudu.
Okay. Well, Dr. Nan, is it mandatory to do stuff three times if you just do it once?
Yeah, so we did that before. So you can wash each part one time, or two times, or three times, and you can do something like that. And you can do different numbers. So you can do, for example, you could wash your face one time, and then you can wash your arm three times.
Sometimes I use the water in the morning, and it's really, really cold, and it takes some time before the warm starts, so I just do it once.
Yeah, exactly. So there's you can do a light wudu, which involves just doing it one time, or you can do a full wudu, which is three times. And that's fine if you do it one time, as long as you cover all the required bits.
Yeah.
So we're just saying that when you do wudu to start with, we covered this before, but when you do wudu at the beginning, you wash your hands three times. That's not, normally speaking, that's not obligatory. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's just to clean your hands. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you wash your mouth and nose in one handful. Okay. You gargle and spit out, suck it up your nose and then blow it out. Okay. And then you can do that one time or two times or three times. Then you wash your face from the hairline to the ears to the jaw, again one to three times. Okay. Then you wash your arms from fingertips, and that washing of the hand, that washing of the hand is obligatory from fingertips to elbow, and again one to three times. Okay. And then you wipe your head. That's just a wiping, one time, and then your ears, and then you wash your feet after that. Wash your feet again one to three times. Okay.
It has to be in bowels.
It should.
When you wash your face, does it go up to your ears?
It should go up to the ear, to the beginning of the ear. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the boundary of the face is: the ear, the jaw, and the hairline. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. So what we might do, and maybe this time or next time, we'll just actually do a practical thing, not necessarily a walk. You can just talk it through, yeah? So this bit is about when you washing your washing your nose, okay? So you should suck water up your nose and then blow it out. And then the other thing mentioned is that, so whoever performs wudu should clean his nose with water by sucking the water up and then blowing it out. And then whoever cleans his private parts after the toilet, and obviously you can either, again we covered this before, that you can either wash it or I mean, they would in the desert use stones. Obviously, we could use tissue as well. That's okay. And then you should use an odd number. Okay. So the word in Arabic is istinshaq. So again, this is just about the nose, that you suck the water up the nose. Istinshaq, as it sounds like that, isn't it? Istinshaq, you suck it up. And then istinthar also sounds like that, that you blow it out of your nose. Okay. And that's an obligatory part of the wudu. Okay. And the Sheikh mentioned that this is like, obviously, we're doing something which involves in the prayer, recitation of the Quran and dhikr. So it's good to be in a clean state for the nose and mouth, okay? It's just appropriate, really, okay? And then the next thing in the hadith is istijmar, as much as mentioned, when you clean after the toilet with stones or with toilet paper, if you're, say, in England and there's nothing to wash, for example, then you can use, you should use an odd number. So it should be a minimum of three. Or you can do more as long as it's an odd number, so five or seven until it's clean. That's it, really, yeah. Okay. Okay, and then this next hadith again mentions the same point, but also some additional points. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if any of you performs wudu, he should suck water up his nose and then blow it out, and whoever cleans his private parts with stones after relieving himself, istijmar, he should do with an odd number. And then there's an additional phrase in this hadith, and whoever wakes up from his sleep should wash his hands before putting them in the water container for wudu, because no one knows where he may have put his hands in his sleep. Okay? So again, these words are mentioned, so istinshaq, sucking up, istinthar, blowing out. And istijmar is when you clean yourself, okay, with your obviously left hand, okay. And then whoever wakes up from sleep, then he should wash his hands before putting them in the container, because you don't know where your hands were. So there's some discussion over the between the scholars that if you have a short nap in the day, is that okay? You don't have to, and is it just, or is it just when you sleep for the night, for a long sleep at the night? So there's some discussion, but there is another version of the hadith where it mentions when you sleep for the night, then you should wash your hands. Then it's obligate. So then it's obligatory to wash your hands three times before you start
Does it
with
have
them.
To be three times?
I think it is. Yeah, I'll just check
Even
that.
if you're doing a one-time.
Oh, I'm not sure actually. I'll check that actually. Yeah. It just mentions wash his hands actually. So yeah, let me check that then. But yeah, no, ordinarily you'd do it three times. But yeah, okay. And then, so yeah, so it's mentioned specifically sleeping for the night, and also the word in Arabic, the word is batat, where you put your hands, the word is batat, but that has a connotation of it being at night, okay? So where you place your hands overnight, as it were, okay? So you could accidentally touch something which is not clean or whatever. That's why you have to do that, okay? Yeah, so we said that already. And so, as I said, it's obligatory to wash them before you put your hand in, because it might be something dirty or najis. If it's something which is like flowing water, then it's not obligatory in that case. Okay, so the Sheikh mentioned if it was a river, for example, something flowing. Presumably also a tap, I suppose,
Yes.
because you're not dipping your hand into it. So then perhaps it's not obligatory then, yeah. And then the Sheikh went, when he was explaining this, he just went into a digression slightly. He said that, you know, these hadith which mention specific things like that, or may to some people seem a bit odd or strange that this detail is mentioned. But he said we should honor the hadith of the Prophet, and when the Prophet gave some specific advice, you know, we should always accept that and value what he says. And he said, then he just went into this thing that's apparently some people obviously might mock or make a joke out of hadith. Oh, well, this is, sounds silly or whatever, and that's obviously very wrong, very very bad thing to do. And then he mentions that some of the scholars of the past mentioned stories. So he mentioned a story where someone mocked the hadith and said, well, I know where my hand goes at night; it's just next to me in the bed. And then the next night his hand ended up sort of in his back passage or something. So that's apparently it's a story. So it just shows that it's not good to mock about these things. And then he mentioned another hadith. The Sheikh mentioned a hadith where there's a hadith where it says that angels lower their wings out of humility for the student of knowledge. So then this again, some foolish person, apparently the scholars mentioned, he wore some shoes with spikes on the bottom, and then he was trampling next to the circle of knowledge and said, well, I'm just trampling on the angel's wings. And then he was struck with a paralysis. Somehow he had some kind of paralysis. Anyway, these are just the stories which from the scholars which they mention. Okay. Okay. Then the next hadith, this is a little bit of a long hadith, but this is a discussion between Abdullah ibn Umar, the companion, the son of Umar, obviously, and his student, Ubayd ibn Jurayj. Okay? So he was quizzing Abdullah ibn Umar about some things he observed about him. Okay? And Ibn Umar was known to be very meticulous in following the Sunnah, very closely following what the Prophet did. Okay? His student, Ubayd, said, I never saw you touching any corner of the Kaaba except the two Yamaniyain, the two Yemeni corners, which is referring to the actual Yemeni corner and also the black stone corner because it's slightly towards the south, okay? And I saw you wearing shoes made of leather or tanned leather and dyeing your hair with a kind of henna. And I also noticed that when you were in Mecca, preparing for Hajj, people would put on or get into Ihram when they saw the new moon, meaning the first of Dhul-Hijjah. But you didn't do so until Ihlal, meaning the eighth, it's referring to the eighth of Dhul-Hijjah, okay? Because that's the day when people prepare to go to Mina and they put their Ihram on and so on and so forth, okay? So he said, other people did it on the 1st of Dhul-Hijjah, but I notice you do it on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, okay? So Abdullah replied, regarding the corners of the Kaaba, I never saw Allah's Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, touching except those two corners facing Yemen, facing south. And regarding the leather shoes, then I saw Allah's Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wearing a type of leather shoe which didn't have any fur or anything on it. And he used to perform ablution and then wear his shoes, okay? So I love to wear similar shoes. And about dyeing the hair with henna, no doubt I saw Allah's Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dyeing his hair with it, and that's why I like to dye my hair. And regarding ihlal, which is when you put the ihram on, I did not see Allah's Messenger assuming ihram until he set out for Hajj on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. Okay? So this is actually just... this is just used to prove this point, that he would wash his feet and then wear his shoes on top of that, okay? To prove that it's obligatory to wash your feet when you make wudu, okay? Obviously, when you wash your feet, put your shoes on, then you can wipe. That's a separate thing which is also valid, okay? But the point is, for the first time, you do have to wash your feet, right? Now, this is a bit of a side point, but some people think that when you do wudu, you just have to wipe your feet. Even if you've not done wudu at all, and you've just got your bare feet, you just wipe your feet like that, and that's enough. Do you know who does that, who says that?
The
Shia, exactly. Yeah. So I didn't know that, and I remember at university I had a discussion with a Shia, which I wouldn't recommend, actually. But I ended up having... In fact, he was a guy in my college, I think. And then he was mentioning some stuff. But then he said, apparently, that when we do wudu, we don't wash our feet. We just wipe on the top of the bare foot. And that's it. So, obviously, that's wrong. But then this is one of the proofs which is used to prove that.
Where do you get that? I don't know. Don't they do some sort of masah as well?
Like songs.
So if you want to go into a bit of detail about that. So, in the Quran, it says that in the ayah, and you could help me about this, but there's an ayah where it says you can wash your feet, and it has the same ending as the other things which are mentioned. And then the other wamsahu bi ru'usikum is mentioned, wa arjulikum. Then that means wiping the feet.
This is
ilal ka'bain. Ilal ka'bain. Yeah, true. But they say that actually means wiping the feet full stop. But we say, based on the hadith, that you can wipe on the feet in the context of having done wudu putting your socks on or shoes on, and then you can wipe it. So because they don't have that connection with hadith, and all their hadith body is all corrupted anyway, so that's why they don't know that. Okay, that was a good digression.
Narrated by the donkey. So when you actually do masaf, you're also supposed to do it to the
gown. We'll cover that later. I think inshallah we'll cover the masaf. But you just wipe the top of the foot basically. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the point of this is that the point that Bukhari is making is that to prove that you should wash your feet, okay, and it's not enough to just wipe your foot as such, okay. There's another hadith which we covered about which also proves that you have to wash the feet. Do you remember that? We covered that before.
The Muslims were making wudu and the Prophet called out, shouted out. And this was a lesson of raising your voice.
Yes, right? Mashallah. Yeah.
And do not forget your heels.
Yeah, exactly. So, waylul lil aqabi min an-nar. So, woe to the heels from the fire. So, the companions were rushing to make wudu and they were missing the heel and they were not washing because they were doing it hurriedly. So, they were not washing the heel properly. So, the Prophet raised his voice and that's a proof that you can do that. And it says, وَيْلُوا لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Okay? So that you must wash the heels and obviously the whole foot. Okay? Good. So obviously, as I said, it's a different discussion that you wash it, you've done wudu, you wash your feet, then you put your socks or hoofs or whatever on, then you can wipe, and that's a separate thing that's allowed, yeah? Okay? And then, so to just go to the detail of that, so as is mentioned in the hadith, Ibn Umar, he saw the Prophet only touching the Yemeni corner and the black stone, obviously the black stone itself, okay? And sometimes you see that people will actually try and touch the other corners of the Kaaba, and so the stuff which you only would do, yeah, all sorts, yeah, all sorts of stuff, but that's obviously, that's not legislated, okay? And then about the socks or shoes, that you wash it and then put the socks on, and then about the henna, that the Prophet used that henna, and then Yawm at-Tarwiyah, that the Ibn Umar, following the Prophet, would put ihram on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, okay? And that's called Yawm at-Tarwiyah, when they're about to go to Mina. Does anyone know why it's called Yawm at-Tarwiyah? Just a little. So Tarwiyah actually just refers to filling up your water skins or filling up the water containers. Because what they would do is then they would prepare to move. So they would get everything ready for that. They'd fill up their water skins, they'd get their camels or riding beasts ready, and then they would set off.
What word does that come from?
I don't know. I have to look up. You need an Arabic expert. So, yes.
History of linguistics. We need that.
Okay, the next hadith. So, the next hadith, while performing wudu or taking a bath, you should start with the right side of the body. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Prophet used to love to start with the right side on wearing shoes, combing his hair, or cleaning or washing himself, or on any other matter. Okay? So that's giving preference to the right side for things which are sort of good, involve cleanliness or something noble. Okay? Okay? So the word in Arabic is tayammun. Tayammun. So for al-yumna, tayammun is starting with the right, okay? And for wudu and for washing, etc., you start with the right side, okay?
Is that the same as tayammum?
No, tayammum is different. That's when you use, that's when you don't have water and you need to do wudu. But tayammun is with the right hand, okay? Any other examples of things that you know of? So the things entering that I mentioned, yeah? Entering the mosque, yeah? So the things that mentioned are obviously wearing shoes, combing hair, washing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So certain things you give preference to the left, which is like a slightly negative thing. So which is? So you enter the bathroom with your left, and then when you leave the masjid, you leave with the left, for example. Yeah. Okay. Okay. And there's another version of the hadith which is mentioned in the full version of Bukhari but not in the summarized one, that the Prophet, when Zainab radiallahu anha had passed away and she was having her washing before burial, and the Prophet told the ladies who were washing him, so the Prophet said at the time of washing his deceased daughter, he said to them, start with the right side, beginning with those parts which are washed in wudu. Okay, so that's just another proof and another situation as well. Okay, and we said some things the left is actually done first. Yeah. Okay, then the next hadith is to look for water or to go and get water when the time of wudu is, when the time of prayer is due. Obviously, they don't have running water. So they have to go and get some container of water. So I saw Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the Asr prayer was due and the people searched for water to perform wudu, but they could not find it. Later, a pot of water was brought, just had a small amount of water in it. It was brought to Allah's Messenger. He put his hand in the pot and ordered the people to make wudu from it. And I saw the water springing out or gushing out from underneath his fingers, until all of them, a large number of people, had performed the wudu. So that's how it was a miracle of the Prophet. Okay. So that's the main point that Bukhari is bringing, that obviously it's legislated to go and look for some water when you're close to the time of prayer. And then this obviously was a miracle, one of the miracles of the Prophet. There was only a small amount of water, but there was enough came out for the people to wash. Okay. So that was the main point that Bukhari is getting from that. That's all. Yeah. Okay. If someone washes their hair with water, or if you just wash your hair in some way, and the leftover water, is that najas or not? Okay. So this hadith is about that question. Okay. So when Allah's Messenger had his head shaved, Abu Talha was the first to take some of his hair. Okay, so how does that prove what Bukhari is trying to prove?
Yeah, so if it was najis, he would not take it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So that's the point. So if the cut hair was najis, so again, this must be to respond. Maybe some people have this view. Maybe there were some people at the time who held the view that the cut hair or hair is najis, right? So that's just to prove that it's fine. Even if it's water that's washed hair and it might be dirty, it's still not considered bad or najis. Okay. So why was Abu Talha keen to get the hair of the Prophet? Anyone know?
Thought it was special.
Yeah. So one of the particular specific things about the Prophet is that those things were connected to him, had barakah in them. Okay. So that was a specific thing only to the Prophet. When he was alive, they could take some things from him, like the hair or the sweat, for example. Or there is an example when he drank from some milk and then the young boy wanted to drink from the same spot. Okay, so that's one of the things specific, and it's like a kind of miracle of the Prophet that there's barakah associated with that. So the companions would be keen to collect these things and they would see that as a form of barakah. That's obviously only specific to the Prophet. Afterwards, that doesn't apply, and doesn't apply to anyone else. Okay, so people obviously go too far with regards to that.
There's some people that say that they still have some of his hair.
Yeah, there's some in Kashmir.
How could you know?
Theoretically.
How could you know if there's no
there was one mosque in the Cyprus.
Okay, to get it. I don't know.
I thought it was a hair of the Prophet.
So you remember in Topkapi Palace, what did we see
there?
They had the
hand of somebody.
They had the asar of Musa. They had Musa's stick actually there. And they had, so I mean, there's just no way to know.
But
they had someone's hand. They had someone's arm was on. But I mean, there's no way to know, is there? There's no way to know. So anyway, okay, fine. Anyway, so that is just, again, it's a very fine fiqh point which Bukhari was trying to prove, and that's all really. That because Abu Talha was happy to collect the hair that shows that it's pure and not najis. Okay? Okay, I think that's it really. There are some just some other questions and answers at the end of the lesson. Just one thing which I thought was important is that someone asked, is it from the sunnah to wipe the back of the neck after wudu? And that's not from the sunnah, that's not authentic. So when I learned to do wudu, I think I was taught to do that. And you see people from India, Pakistan doing that. But it's not based on anything authentic. So when you wipe one time, and this is counted as one time from front to back and back to front, and we'll cover that. That's counts as one, so that is one wipe essentially.
Is it that you have to use the remaining water to clean your ears, or do you have to get, wash your hands?
You can use the remaining water, that's okay. There's some other specific narration which says that the leftover water. So you wash and then you just use the sort of remaining water on your hands to do that.
What about if you
collect some more water, that's fine as well, that's it.
Okay. What about if you use leftover water to just then you continue to wash afterwards? If you have enough water to do another step, can you do that?
Oh, do you in your hands or in
after you wash your face, you wash your arms.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know, that might be tricky though.
I think you have to wash your arms, when you want
to. But you'd have to get some water and wash them, I would imagine. Yeah.
Maybe
I don't know.
You could check that though.
Yeah.
The wiping is okay, because there is some water left on your hands, then you can wipe. There's enough for that, I think. Yeah.
They specify for stuff like whether it's...
Yeah. So you'd have to wash everything except the head, which is wiped. Yeah. And obviously the feet if you're wiping on your socks.
Yeah.
Any other questions at all? Or?